It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. And we have a few minutes with Governor Cuomo now to talk about a few things in the news. Governor, welcome back to WNYC.
Good to be back. And hello to you, Brian.
To make a segue from our last segment before the news, we were speaking to Ken Lovett from the Daily News and Vivian Wang, who covers Albany for the New York Times, about the state legislature salary increase commission report that's due out today. Care to weigh in with a point of view?
I think the legislators need a pay raise. They haven't had one in 17 years. And look, we want to get talented people into the legislature. You have to pay them a salary that allows them to live and not be a martyr. I also agree that there should be a ban on outside income. I've said that for many, many years. And the commission found their way to that. So I think that's good news.
A total ban or a limit on outside income?
Well, they call it a ban. It's the modeled on the congressional ban, which you're right, is technically a limit. It limits the occupations you can have. It also limits the outside income to 15% of the overall salary. Also, I need a raise, Brian, for my executive chamber personnel, my commissioners. You know, I have to hire commissioners who are in charge of multi-billion dollar agencies. And the salaries in the private sector are a tenfold multiple. And I'll never compete with the private sector, but I have to offer a professional a decent salary because we need quality people running the Department of Health, Housing Department, Security Department. I mean, you want top-flight professionals, and we need somewhat competitive salaries.
And this commission report, as I understand it, also recommends that your salary go up from, is it $179,000 up to $250,000, which would make you the highest paid governor in the country?
You know, I haven't seen the final commission report. You have me. It doesn't matter what. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing this about the money. But the executive salaries are important, the commissioners, the deputy commissioners, because truthfully, Brian, I have a real problem finding talent. You know, I pay my counsel about $150,000. Counsel leaves my employee. They go to a firm. They make over $1 million. And people believe in public service, but they have to justify it to their family also. Take it from someone who heard many complaints growing up at the kitchen table with a mother who said, you know, public service is great, but you also have to pay for tuition, which my father never did, by the way.
And before we go on to other things, I gather there's a dispute as to whether the commission can be binding in its findings, not only on what raise the legislature gets, but then this outside income limit or ban as well, and that may get challenged. What's your position on that?
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a challenge to the commission report because the Republicans in the legislature don't want the ban on outside income. Many of the Republicans have outside law firm practices. In my opinion, that is an inherent conflict of interest that has caused problems over and over again. The Republicans refused to pass the ban in the past, and that's why there was no pay increase. So I do expect a challenge for political reasons, but the legislature can handle the ban because if there's any question about the commission's authority, the Democrats are all in favor of a ban on outside income anyway. The Senate minority, the Democrats, passed the same ban. All the assembly people say they're in favor of a ban. So if there's any question as to the commission's authority, it's very simple for them to remedy it, come back in January, and pass a separate law that enacts the same congressional limits.
Ken Lovett did mention that Republicans in the legislature tend to make more outside income because Republicans, as one might imagine, come more from the private sector. They come out of business into lawmaking rather than coming up through the political class per se, which Democrats are more likely to do. Does that make this a kind of anti-Republican measure?
No. It was not an anti-Republican measure. I have been proposing this for 7 years. We've been talking about it. It never happened. With a Democratic Senate and a Democratic Assembly, I believe it can now pass. The Republicans did not want to pass it, and they controlled the Senate. The Democrats have all said they support it. I've been on the campaign trail with them. They all say they support it. So now they can actually do it because they're in the majority, and they'll overrule the Republicans.
All right, moving on. And if you're just joining us, Governor Cuomo is my guest. I see that the New York State Democratic Party released a digital ad that pressures Democratic Congresswoman Kathleen Rice of Nassau County to support Nancy Pelosi for Speaker of the House, which Congresswoman Rice does not. You support the Democratic Committee, the state party, on this, right?
Yes, I support a Democratic Congress. I worked very hard for a Democratic Congress. We won 40 seats. We won 3 seats in this state of New York that we flipped. The Democratic Congress, Brian, is our only check on this president and the extreme conservative movement that has taken over the federal government. If they get their way, they will destroy New York and our rights and our values. So having a Democratic Congress was the entire goal. And frankly, to me, it trumps, pardon the pun, intramural Democratic politics or personal politics. They don't even have an alternative to Nancy Pelosi. She won 40 seats. She's a proven leader. They would bring us into chaos. They could even get us to a situation where we don't have a Democratic speaker. So I'm saying to all the Democrats who are playing intramural and personal politics, this is not about you. This is about electing a Democratic Congress, which Democrats all across the nation worked very hard to do to stop bad things from happening from this president. And if they mess up the speaker vote, they could really blow it, and that would be a national tragedy.
Why, though, since the Democrats have control of the House, no matter who they elect as speaker, single out a member of the New York State congressional delegation, Congresswoman Rice from Long Island, for pressure or embarrassment or whatever? Why not support the idea that democracy should flourish now that the Democrats have control of the House again for the first time in so many years, and let people debate whether Nancy Pelosi is the best person for 2019 or whether it's somebody with a different mix of points of view or a different mix of experiences?
They did have that debate, and I support that debate, Brian. And the Democratic caucus came together, and they argued, and they fought, and they debated, and they picked Nancy Pelosi. So the Democratic caucus did that. The next arena is on the floor of the whole Congress with the Republicans participating. And what I'm saying is you had your fight among the Democrats. The Democrats picked Nancy Pelosi. Don't aid and abet the Republicans in jeopardizing her leadership.
When Mayor de Blasio was on the show on Friday, he singled out April 1st of next year as the day when New Yorkers are going to know if there's serious funding coming for the MTA. Do you agree that that's the day to watch because that's when the New York State budget is due?
No. You will know if there's serious funding for the MTA if we pass congestion pricing. Congestion pricing, I believe, is the only viable alternative. Let's separate the political rhetoric from the governmental reality. You need a steady, dedicated funding stream to the MTA. You also need to reduce the congestion in Manhattan. you must accomplish those two things. Even if you fund the MTA, the buses can't move because of the congestion. Congestion pricing does both. It is a dedicated revenue stream to the MTA. It also reduces congestion. It's been talked about for years. All the experts will say it's a good idea. It's the only viable idea, and we have to pass it. We could pass it as part of the budget in April 1, or we could pass it in the remainder of the session, which goes until June.
Last time you were on, you said there's no such thing as the MTA because no one person or body controls it. You have the most appointments to the MTA board, but not a majority. So how are you going to get them to do anything? And any other, and we had Andy Byford here the other day, the head of New York City Transit, that part of the MTA. He's at odds with the NYPD now over fare beating. So give us any other MTA update, because people really care about this.
Yeah, they should. The MTA was created in the late 60s. And what they did purposefully, Brian, is they came up with an entity to handle a difficult situation with no political accountability, because no politician wanted to be directly accountable. So you came up with a board of 17 people, six for the governor, four for the mayor, Nassau County executive, Suffolk County executive. You need the mayor of New York can veto any plan unilaterally for the capital of the transit authority. But the NYPD are in the New York City Transit Authority, but the MTA police, the governance has to be cleaned up. And we need a dedicated revenue stream, and the MTA has to do a better job. Their projects are critical. I am this week going to take a look myself at the L train. And there's a project to close the tunnel that carries the L train. It would be highly disruptive for many people. Of course, you want to make sure the tunnel is safe and the train is safe. But this Thursday night, midnight, I'm going to take a tour to make sure we are doing everything we can and explore every option to reduce any possible disruption. I did the same thing with the Second Avenue subway to make sure that the bureaucracy is being flexible and open and creative, because these are vital services. You close down the L train, they're talking about 15 months, it creates a major problem. The city's worked very hard, the MTA's worked hard to come up with alternatives, but the functionality of this agency is key. And when it becomes a major situation that I can get involved in directly, like Second Avenue Subway, like the L train, even broader with the Port Authority, LaGuardia Airport, Moynihan Train Hall, I take a personal interest in these because they are so vital. But the MTA, day-to-day, having the funding to buy new trains, put in that new signal system, do the construction on time, that mm-hmm. is vital. Remembering that the whole system has been neglected for decades. It's a 100-year-old system, and the volume is multiple times of what it was right. designed to handle.
On the L train, I thought that it was already decided after a number of different scenarios were put out there for, you know, how and for how long they would close the tunnel to do these repairs that I think were needed since Hurricane Sandy. And a decision was made and a course of action was decided upon. Are you now calling that into question?
No, they went through an exhaustive review. They had a number of community hearings. The plan on the table is to close the tunnel for about 15 months. The city and the MTA have an alternative course to try to mitigate the commutation. I want to be able to... many New Yorkers have come up to me and said they're concerned about this. I can't tell you the number of people in Brooklyn who have come up and said, looked me right in the eye and said, are you sure that there is nothing else that can be done and there's no way you can possibly shorten this? I said, I will make sure that personally that there is nothing else that can be done and this is the best option. And I want to do that.
So you are calling this into question and saying, wait, before you go ahead with this 15-month closure of the L train, you're going to take a look and see if there's another option?
No. They're going ahead with their plan. I'm going to review it myself. I'm going to bring some fresh eyes to the table. I'm going to have national experts, international experts. I want to be able to say to every New Yorker, I know it's a pain in the neck. There is no other option. The MTA is right. There is no other option. I brought every expert to the table. We looked at everything. There's nothing else that can be done.
So what you're inspecting, I'm just trying to understand it. What you're looking at is the mitigation plan, like for while the tunnel is closed, whether they're doing the everything they can to ease the pain?
No, the construction of the tunnel.
Uh-huh.
You know, the construction, I have been amazed at how creative you can be now with construction techniques. I saw it on the Tappan Zee Bridge, which was supposed to be impossible. I saw it on LaGuardia Airport, where they told me there's no way we can operate the airport and rebuild it at the same time. So I just want to make sure that I personally can say to any New Yorker, yes, the buck stops on my desk. Yes, this is a very big project and a disruptive project. And yes, I personally am confident that it cannot be done any other way, and it cannot be done faster than the MTA is doing it. It's important to me, Brian. I take my job personally. It's not just institutional. It's personal. And if New Yorkers are going through pain to endure a construction project, I want to make sure that that pain is minimized as much as possible. The same as Gateway Tunnel, by the way. I have no business being involved in the Gateway Tunnel. It's a federal tunnel. It brings people to New York, but I don't own the tunnel. It's New Jersey Transit and Amtrak trains bringing commuters to New York, and that's important to New York. But it's my obligation, my moral obligation, to make sure I'm doing everything I can do to get that Gateway Tunnel built.
We just have 2 minutes. Let me go through a couple of things really quick. One, just a quick follow-up on the Gateway Tunnel. The last time you were on, it was the day before you met with President Trump to try to get his buy-in for federal funding to make that possible. Did you get it?
I would say we had a positive conversation. I would say he didn't sign the check. I wanted to make sure he knew the facts. It's a federal tunnel. It is operated by Amtrak. It is owned by the federal government. The state, New York and New Jersey, said we would put in 25 and 25, and the federal government would pay 50%. It is 100 years old. Its life expectancy is limited, and this is a potential disaster for the Northeast United States. But he did not sign the check.
He did not sign the check. Not yet, anyway. And the Daily News has an article about groups saying, for your ears, that it will take more than ending cash bail to stop mass pretrial incarceration. Have you heard that message? What do you think needs to be in that bill?
Well, we have to go through the cash bail bill. It is a very complicated system. I was a former assistant district attorney. I was the attorney general. There's no doubt that there's racial disparity in the system. That is inarguable. Cash bail, however, is one of the seminal issues. When a judge looks at a person and doesn't determine the risk of flight or risk of safety to society, but rather determines how much money the person has in their pocket, that is a fundamental injustice. And that is the starting point. It's not necessarily the ending point, but it is the starting point.
The groups are concerned that there are other for-profit things that would remain: mass community surveillance, racially biased risk assessment instruments, or an expansion of preventive detention, according to the article.
Yeah, there are other things we can do, no doubt.
Okay.
But let's start with the single biggest thing, which is cash bail.
And finally, your interest in Nancy Pelosi getting that majority and pressuring Congresswoman Rice from Long Island to be part of it. What's the interest in national politics? Again, people will ask if you're testing the waters for running for president.
No, you will ask, Brian, which you just did in a sort of backhanded, surreptitious way. Nancy Pelosi and the Congress is vital to the state of New York. If we do not get a federal government that helps the state, if we don't have a Congress fighting for our state and local taxes are going to go up because of their SALT deduction. We will not get the Gateway Tunnel. We will not get any transportation assistance. They will decimate our health care and our Medicaid. All our chips are on the Congress. They are the only body in Washington that I can go to fight to protect New York. And if you have a Democratic speaker, she can put her foot down and say to the president and the Senate, I'm not doing anything until you repeal SALT, until you give us Medicaid assistance, until you fund Gateway.
But you'll have a Democratic speaker one way or another.
You'll have, or you could have a weakened Democratic, or a deal with the Republicans on a speaker, or an incompetent speaker. They don't even have an alternative to Nancy Pelosi.
Governor Andrew Cuomo, we always appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come.